Right. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. I have Ben and Diana, power couple in real-time VFX. All right. I'll let them introduce themselves to you. Go ahead.
Ladies first.
Hello. I'm Diana. I'm a VFX artist at Digital Extremes, and I also teach at VFX Apprentice. And I'm from Armenia.
And I'm Ben. I'm mostly community and education manager at VFX Apprentice. I've done a lot of teaching and helping students over there. So, yeah, and I'm from Germany.
All right. How do you feel like with... is there any cultural differences that you feel like is huge in your own daily life?
There's some, but I wouldn't say it's anything that's anything that is in any inconvenience. So it's small things, but nothing too complicated, I feel like. And yeah.
As a person who's also in a relationship with a whole different culture. So I'm Syrian. I'm together with an Austrian. Sometimes, you know, in the beginning of the relationship, it was quite interesting to struggle through like cultural things. Still is, kind of. But yeah, so is that, I guess. So what sparked your interest in real-time VFX? It's such a like a combined skill. What brought you to it?
Do you want to start or should I?
Sure. So a few years ago, I was very much into drawing concept art, or just in general, just painting and things like that. And of course, I was also very interested in video games. So even though I was studying architecture at the time, in the back of my mind, I always knew I wanted to work in the video game field. And I really like being able to combine art with technical things. But at the same time, I didn't know that VFX was a position that I didn't know it existed. So, yeah, I was looking for work in Armenia as like an artist for a game company. And that's how I found out that there is like an upcoming studio that's going to be outsourcing VFX. And I just Googled what is VFX once. And since then, I have been very in love with it, because the moment I read it, that it's like art, but you do it sort of in real time and it has timings and things like that, I thought that's perfect for me, because I always loved that kind of thing. And even when I was younger, I was doing like motion graphics things and like After Effects making like little anime videos and things like that. So I just thought, yeah, that sounds perfect for me. And I stopped doing the concept art things and started learning VFX as much as possible. And I tried to get into that studio that was hiring for VFX artists, and it worked. I managed to get it, and I learned a lot in that process. Like, those were the first steps. So yeah, that's how it all started.
Wow. What about you, Ben?
For me, it was like actually kind of similar. I also didn't start in like VFX or like any game related topic. I studied civil engineering, which is very similar to architecture. So that was like a fun coincidence.
What German of you? Right?
Yes, very German to do engineering. And I always was into games. I always played, and actually my brother introduced me to VFX. He is a character animator, and one day, like randomly, he said, like, hey, I found this thing you might like. And that's where I met like Jason Kaiser's videos for the first time. And I just did like a little bit of like doodles and things on the side. And I catched myself more and more, spending more and more time in VFX than in engineering. And then when Jason's first course came out, I joined that and kind of through sheer luck and to interacting with the community, I got a job from Jason for like community and just giving feedback. And yeah, that's how it went. And then from there, I just stuck at it and didn't even finish my engineering. So
funny how life goes, right? Sometimes.
Yeah.
Also, go ahead. Sorry.
Also, I always said, like, in school, if you would have asked me, what are your two most hated subjects? I would say art and English. And now I'm doing art and English as my job. So I guess, like, don't let yourself get held back from, like, your childhood stupidity.
Wow. I mean, what changed? What changed for you, I guess?
I think I never really interacted much with art. And in school, it's a lot of sit down and just draw. And if you already learned how to draw, then like you can do something. And it's like seen as kind of like this talent-based magical thing.
Absolutely.
That you either can do or can't. And no one really explained anything in school. But the more you learn, I think a lot of things you could do with, especially like with color and like design, and like there are a lot of things that just have rules that you can learn. And so I really enjoyed that, and I really enjoyed like giving it to other people. And just
the thing about drawing when it's taught as a craft, and it could be technical as anything, right? Drawing or art. There are techniques that you can do, like especially if you go more traditional, like it gets really crafty and it gets really technical. Have you ever, you know, tinkered a little bit with like traditional art? Both of you, of course.
Diana has. I haven't.
Yeah, it was part of my like architecture degree. We did the traditional art for 4 years, so I had to get grades with it.
Okay. How was it difficult to work with all the tools? Because I would imagine that you would have to like purchase the proper stuff, like proper paper with the proper. Yeah. How was that for you?
It was an interesting process. I always underestimated how much the product that you are using actually affects your painting. Also, I mean, of course, if you are a very good painter, a very good artist, like you can do it with anything, but also the type of watercolor, for example, you get, or like how much easier it was to sketch with like, I don't know, like a 4B pencil or 6B pencil than an HB or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was very nice. And it's good because especially if you have a good teacher that explains to you the theory behind drawing as well, it's very interesting to understand. For example, before every single strand of hair, I thought I had to like draw individually,
but then
it was explained to me, don't think of it that way. Think of it as a shape, like think of everything in terms of shapes. So give the hair a shape and then you can add a bit of detail into it. But it's always do these like block-ins of big shapes. And also thinking about the physics of light, right? How it works. And if you have, depending on what angle it hits from, you can have like a very dark shadow and then suddenly there's like this bleak of highlight towards the end. So those things I think are technical that when explained you understand them better and you think about them. So also with anatomy, proportions, like all those things were interesting to think about, because given that I didn't know that art could be so technical. And on the other hand, it's important to also remember that even if you read all the books of theories of art, even if you read 10 books, still the thing that you need to do to get better is just practice. Because even if you know all the theories, unless your hand starts feeling what you are doing, you can't really progress much. So it's a combination of understanding theory and consistently like applying practice and like sketching a little bit every day. And then you will feel a huge progress even in a few months if you really do it consistently.
It's like the brain is a muscle almost, where, you know, the more you do, the more it's gonna get trained in doing it. The more you do the uncomfortable thing, such as training, for example, with a muscle, the better you'll get at it. It's interesting that you come from like the drawing background and Ben comes from like the technical one, yet your styles are like opposite, right? He's the one that now is doing the frame by frame illustration style type of drawing or effects, and you're the one that is using like technical new noise texture and proceduralism and semi-realistic or semi-stylized. So I guess, you know, how did you go from here to there, and you went from here to there? What brought you back?
I never thought about that like this. good point, actually. I think for me, it was just I started and I did a little bit of 3D, and then I helped develop the 2D course of VFX Apprentice, and this is kind of like where I started editing videos and like spending more time just watching content. So I started like to play around with things, and that's kind of like where I stuck at, and this is just the thing I tend to enjoy a bit more, although I feel like I'm the most fun I have is when I can combine both of these together. So if I can do 2D effects in a 3D environment.
Okay. What about you, Diana?
So with me, even the paintings that I was doing, they were also, like, most of them were oil paintings of, like, realistic, I don't know, portraits and things like that. So even with those, it was kind of more in that style. But I did try out some more stylized things as well. And honestly, I absolutely love stylized. And some of my favorite games are very stylized. Like, I love League of Legends, I love Raven's Watch, and I really love watching them. But personally, I just felt like the semi-realistic style just came to me more naturally. Mm-hmm. And it's more of a, it's not that I prefer one of the other visually. And again, like, even watching things like Arcane is incredible. Like, those VFX that are hand-drawn there are just mind-blowingly amazing. Yeah. It's more of a, what I feel more comfortable in rather than what I just think is better or things like that. I just feel like I could perform better in a semi-realistic style than a stylized style.
So that now that we covered that, what do you think when someone, this is a question from one of my viewers, and he asks, why is it the perception when someone says, I want to learn real-time VFX, that the first thing comes in mind that you must know how to draw? And how much of that is true from your both perspectives?
One thing I can see is that it is something people are still scared of. Like I said, in schools, oftentimes it's said to be like the, well, in culture in general, it's like the, either you have the talent to draw or not. So people are kind of like afraid, like, oh, I never draw, or like, I don't know how to draw. That will be like a huge negative, and I'm like scared of that. And I feel like that's a lot where it comes from. Mm. And then, like, everything in VFX It is the it depends. So depending on where you work on, what you work on, what style you work on, that influences a lot. Although I would say, if you don't want to draw at all, or I think like some art fundamentals are good, but again, you can learn those. But if you are not comfortable drawing 2D flip books or drawing like textures, there are ways to do these procedurally. Like there are ways around. So I think like having some art fundamental are very helpful, but it isn't like you have to draw or you will be doomed, especially when you start learning. Like I said, it's something a lot of people say, like, oh, I can't draw, will I be doomed? And exactly. I really think that drawing and art is something you can learn. You're not born with it. Mm. So I say that because I never did art and I learned how to do it. So that's like my perspective. But I think like a lot of this comes from like people kind of being scared of what if I don't have this skill.
Mm. I think also, and we'll come back to you, Diana, it's also like the some people just don't want to draw. Like they just don't see themselves as, they don't find it interesting. They don't find frame by frame animation interesting, but then you put them in front of a Houdini interface and they're like, oh, I can do that. And then they're like, okay, I'm going to do my frame by frame that way. So back to you, Diana. What do you think about the first question that I asked?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with Ben that it's not something that's necessary to do. Again, like VFX is such a wide spectrum of skills. And a lot of artists I worked with actually don't do hand-drawn things at all. They're more on, they're more technical slash VFX artists. So some are really good at simulations, some can code, and they integrate the VFX into the gameplay by themselves, and some can like write code shaders on Lua. So it's like very very much like a wide variety of skills that you can have. And I would say what is important to learn and improve very much depends on the company that you want to work with and on their requirements. But for sure, if you want to be a VFX artist, it doesn't mean you have to be able to make simulations. It doesn't mean you have to be able to code, and it doesn't mean you have to be able to do hand-drawn things. Sometimes even just working with good particle systems and good shaders and making nice meshes, even just that is sometimes more than enough. So it really is like a complex thing, I would say, where it's not like you have to do this, this, and this. It's more depending on your personal situation. And also, I think if you have the fundamentals right, so you understand timings right, colors right, shapes right, then I think no matter which skill set you add, it's just going to be a nice addition. But still, because your base is so strong, you are going to be a very valued artist.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I also advocate for flexibility in the sense of you should be able to do, and in my opinion, that's how I see it, I guess. You should be able to be flexible in the styles, because not always you will work for that one, you know, game company that will just do that one style. I work as a freelancer, for example. I come from a 2D background, so I understand that stylization is a spectrum. Normally, the way you will learn how to draw is that you imitate reality, and then you push the envelope of reality to the simplest forms. There's like a huge spectrum of how you could do that. And I come from that, right? So as a freelancer, I need to be able to communicate with art directors clearly to know what their vision is. So the last game that I worked on was basically the approach of the art director, I think, was not done as much, let's say, or it's not covered in courses, in the typical courses. So I had to literally like bend my technical knowledge and bend my artistic knowledge to find a way to showcase that. So what do you say is a solution for that? Like, the way I guess is like, what if the art director asks you to make a style that is just not in your comfort zone? How would you go around that?
So that's actually the first job I had was at an outsourcing studio. So that's very much was the case. So yeah, you had to adapt to things and you had to adapt quick. So that was where I had the opportunity to also work in some stylized games as well.
Yeah.
And it really, in those cases, it's nice to, before, for example, starting a contract on a project, if you can take it to take just like 1 week where you mainly focus on studying, if it requires something that you don't really know yet, and just trying to give yourself a little bit of time, 1 week, 2 weeks of trying to get into that new style or that new skill set. But since you were hired for the job, it means that that company sees that you will be capable of doing that, right, with your current skill set. So any effort you add into trying to learn is an addition to that and is going to help you. But also because you were already hired as you are, it means that the company is willing to also invest in you and give you some time or train you in some way or help by answering your questions. So I would say if that's the case, like if you are a freelancer or you're an outsourcer and you have this new project that you're going to start in 2 weeks and you look at it and it's like, oh, I have never done something like this before, I would say don't worry too much because you are already signed up for it, so it's okay. So any learning that you will do for it within that 2 weeks before starting is beneficial for your own good, but there nothing is very critically bad, I would say. Don't think that, oh, I'm going to fail. You will also receive help from the VFX lead or tech art lead that's going to be on that project. They're there to guide you, right?
Yes, so, absolutely.
I would say don't worry.
I also think it is dependent on each person, like on personal preference. If you say, I only want to do 2D VFX and don't want to do anything else, then maybe don't go to the outsourcing company that you know switches style a lot, or go to the super realistic company that only does simulation work. Like, you can kind of, based on your preference, you can kind of choose where you want to go. Having like a base openness, I guess, to learn new things is important. So you shouldn't, if your art director or whoever comes and says, hey, we want to try out this thing here, like, can you just try to do something more stylized or something like this, don't say like, nope, I'm not going to do it, that's not what I want. So like being open to push yourself and push your skill set is important. But again, if you don't want to learn, I don't know, Houdini, or want to go into more simulation kind of thing, or into 2D, you don't have to know everything about VFX to be an VFX artist. As an outsourcer, or like as an like individual that like that does just freelancing work and jumps around a lot, then it becomes more important to have a wide spread of skills, just because you otherwise limit yourself on which contacts you can take. But even then, I think like being specialized in something isn't like a bad thing.
Yeah, no, it is definitely not a bad thing. But like even if you specialize in VFX, that's still like a huge generalist approach to it. Because you just need so many skills and you don't need a lot of them. Like you don't need to be extensively good at drawing or very good at animation that you could make movies. You need to be semi good at everything. Like a generalist basically. And that it's almost always when I talk to real-time VFX artists, they always started with something, then they wanted to really work in games, and then they found that they can combine all those cool skills that they've learned from other jobs or from other disciplines that they had to go through. Like for you, Diana, you went through college, and you know you understood art in that way, and yeah, and then you just land on real-time VFX. So I guess the question here is, what would you tell people right now who might just have a little interest in the topic? They maybe still don't know what a VFX artist is, which is short for visual effects artist. So what would you tell to people like that?
I would say if it intrigues you, if it the thought of having art combined with some technical knowledge, some things like making it work in real time. If those thoughts excite you, and if you, when watching movies or playing games, you pay attention to those. So I would say if you find that while watching movies or playing games, you always sort of wonder or think about the VFX or look at the character's abilities, I would say for sure give it a shot. The worst thing that can happen is you discovering, oh, that's not for me, and that's it. But there is a lot of resources available online, even free resources, I would say. Sure. So you can find a lot of videos on YouTube. There's also the Real-Time VFX forum, which is great. So yep. Many artists share so many of their personal projects and experiences there. So definitely a lot of resources to learn. And as a beginner, I would say it's really nice to actually explore in different styles. And I wouldn't right off the bat say, oh, I'm 100% like realistic. Like, it's nice in the beginning to explore, especially like the first year or two. Actually, I didn't know that I was going to like work mostly on semi-realistic VFX until I worked on Baldur's Gate. Before that, everything I had worked on was relatively stylized. So I would say just try different things out and see which you enjoy the most. And worst thing that can happen is you discovering that you actually want something else. And again, that's not really a drawback, right? That's also more information about yourself. You learn more about yourself, you learn what you like and what you don't, and that leads you to finding your most favorite career, right? So yeah, I would say just be brave and try things out, and don't be afraid to try out a variety of different styles.
Yeah, I think VFX is something that is actually very fun to get into. Mm-hmm. Like you can download any engine for free and just start doing like doodles, or like Diana said, like watch something for free and use that as a reference point. Or if you want to do 2D, like you can get any drawing software and just mess around. I think it's a very satisfying first experience where if you just mess around, you can get a lot like inspiration or a lot done very quickly. I remember my first effect was just like a scaling dome with like a random texture I found online. And I was so proud of it. I was like, oh, this is the coolest thing ever. And I think, like, you don't need, like, too many things, or you don't have to be a pro to see the fun in it, to just get in and, like, have something you are proud of or something like you like to look at.
Yeah, and yeah. Also you get results very quickly with real-time VFX because of the real-time aspect of it. So sometimes it's, with other disciplines like 3D modeling, you have to do like the 3D modeling of the thing and then the texturing, UVing, putting it in an engine, making it work, solve a lot of technical issues with baking or whatever. But with real-time VFX, you have the thing working. You might have to do a texture, and then you go to the texture program, do the texture, and then go back there. And it's all spinning and doing all the things, and you would change of numbers. It's still spinning, and now it's doing the whole different thing. It's just so rewarding to... Like you said, it's fun. So I guess the advice is to just try it. And, like, even for young people who are still in school, like 14, 15, like, just go ahead and you're not going to lose anything. It's literally everything is for free. You don't need a Photoshop license. You don't need a Maya license. There's open source programs out there. You can even start with Godot if you want to as an engine. So what would you say to people who are really have no idea about anything, right? Like when it comes to programs and how much they have to pay. Let's say in front of you there's a 14-year-old who really thinks what you do is amazing. What would you tell that person?
Okay, so I would say, like, again, if you're interested, for sure try it out. And when it comes to programs, I would say just open up Unreal Engine. Then even you can get some textures even off the internet. You don't have to make them yourself in the beginning. For modeling, you can use Blender. It's open source. I know for textures, there's Material Maker that you can use, which is similar to Substance Designer if you want to make textures.
Procedural.
Yeah, procedurally, yes. But if you want to, like, draw them yourself, I think maybe Ben knows, like, an alternative to Photoshop.
Creator is a pretty good one that is just free, and a lot of people use it both for 2D animation and for just picture drawing and drawing in general.
Yeah, I've dropped Photoshop, like, 2 months ago, and I'm only using Creator. Sorry, Diana, for interrupting. Go ahead.
No, it's all good. So yeah, I would say there's these programs that you can try out with. And if you want to find information on where to start, what to do, of course, like, ideally getting a course is the most comfortable thing, but I understand that some people can't do that. And the way even I started learning was through free YouTube tutorials. There is a lot of really nice content that's actually available. And through reading forums, I would say, like I said, that real-time VFX website is really, really great. Like, you can read a lot of things there, like, find out what's, like, trending, what's, like, a new interesting technique someone has implemented, and read about it. Like, it's crazy how sharing the VFX community is. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone really wants to share their knowledge. And I think that's really amazing about VFX artists, that they're never hold back on just sharing their knowledge and things like that. So I would say there is, if you are interested and you are wondering, is this something I want or not, just use these programs and use these resources, try things out, see if you are having fun with it or if you are miserable. And based on that, you can decide if you want to go further and get courses or something like that or not. At the start, I would say, like, about expectations, this is really important because I made that mistake and I don't want others to also make it, is don't compare yourself to pros that have a lot of experience or that have spent like 80 hours on like a single piece. I mean, you can look at it and admire it and take inspiration from it, but like this like negative type of comparison, like going on ArtStation and feeling like, oh, I'm not at this point yet, it can be really demoralizing. Mm. So I would say don't do that, because you are learning at your pace, you're just beginning and you are doing the fundamentals. Like you can't start off with doing this huge 1 minute cinematic sequence with crazy things happening and super difficult techniques. Just in the beginning, understand that you really want to get the fundamentals down. You really want to understand shape, color, timing, and that those crazy effects will come with time. Like, don't hurry, don't put yourself in a rush. And same with jobs, right? So don't, like, it's very nice to be inspired and to aim for AAA or things like that. But it would be nice if you also considered, okay, maybe my first experiences that I need to gather maybe are going to be in smaller studios, and that's totally okay, right? So I would just say it's those are also factors that might help in.
Mm. Ben, do you have anything to add?
No, I think in general, VFX artists are quite open. I think this comes from a place where, like a short while ago, like a few years ago, there wasn't very anything online or like any resources, any classes, anything really. So people just learn by sharing their work. So people are still like super open. And oftentimes if you just asked like, oh, how did you do that? I love your effect. How did you do that? I want to do something similar. What can I do? A lot of artists will just tell you. They will just, like, if they have time, they will just respond to you. And about the like feeling bad for not being at the place where others are, I think that will always be in the back of your mind, just because VFX is just such a big field. And even if you are in the industry for a long time, you will think like, oh, I can't do what this person does or whatever. So I think it's really important to think about not the only the end product, but also like the struggles that the artist went through to get there, because oftentimes you only see the end product. You don't see how many hours they worked. You don't see how many times they plugged in the wrong material node and spent the next 10 hours looking for the thing that screws up their effect, and it's just like a silly little mistake. Like, you don't see that, so I would say don't feel pressure to like compare yourself to others just based on the final effect. And then there's always something like difference in style, or just difference in how to learn, or difference on how often you do that. Like, I can't do what Diana does. Like, she's amazing, and I'm mostly teaching, and I'm not doing like that many VFX at the moment, so I'm a bit rusty, and that's okay. Like, give her all the glory that she deserves. So it is always like, don't get yourself down with what others can do, and like focus how you can improve and what can you do on your own time and your own resources.
Yeah, comparing oneself to others, I think that's a soft skill that is also in this realm of common sense that, you know, successful people might have. They're like, well, why am I wasting my time? But I think like 90% of humans, we're just like we will do it unconsciously, and it's good to point it out. So thank you both for pointing that out, because it's something like everybody struggles with, like including myself. I also struggle with that thing. The thing about comparing yourself in the field of real-time VFX in comparison to other fields where maybe learning is more linear and it's more, you know, paved out, or, you know, the road is there to go, you know, it's clear, you go to school, then university, and after university you become a computer scientist, and then, you know, you kind of get easier for you to be a game developer or whatever. You know, it's not linear road. Real-time visual effects artists are usually all coming from different backgrounds. So for example, on this podcast, I've had people who were in publishing, others that were in complete different fields that were not at all creative, right? Like you, Ben, right? Like you were in the civil engineering, which is just like basically numbers and mathematics. Yeah. So it's unfair in that sense to compare yourself, because we all come and have practiced different skills. Well, maybe I'm really good at 3D because like that is my background, I'm really good at 2D because that's my background. It would be unfair for someone else who maybe you're really good at shaders and the technical stuff, right, to compare themselves to me, because we just all come from like different origins, if you may. But the fact that we like to share, the fact that we do such magical, literally magical effects, we feel like we do this like performing art, but we never get to perform in front of our peers. We never get to go to an event and showcase our work to our peers. We're all kind of just hired in one studio. We're like the solo VFX artist, you know, kind of no one interacts with us other than like the art director or whatever. And then when we meet each other, we're like, you get it, yes, finally someone that gets it. And we give all our knowledge away. Mm-hmm. Right, so I guess the question is for you two, was real-time VFX a factor for you bringing you together?
For sure, I would say it everything started with just making up the lessons and thinking of what kind of like improvements to do them in the future, etc. So I would say that it definitely is a factor. And also, most of the time, if you meet other people who are in VFX, they're probably going to have similar interests to you, right? Yep. So this person appreciates art and video games and things like that. So I would say even just friends you can find a lot in the VFX community. And I really mean it when I say everyone is so friendly and nice and willing to share knowledge. So I would say it's very easy to build connections with people. And because of just how great the community is in general.
Yeah, and we got together through VFX. Like, if both of us wouldn't do VFX, we wouldn't know each other. like, Diana did the course, and she was like so amazing to work with. And then we spent more time together. So I really feel like the community and just the people are a big part of what makes the field so good.
That is awesome. Yeah, the community is always, especially when it comes to real-time VFX, it's just amazing. A lot of similar-minded people, passionate, multidiscipline. They want to learn. Yeah, there's this, like, ego aside, and let's just, you know, get the work done and learn a new thing. That is amazing. So I wanted to ask, how much do you keep VFX away from, you know, your daily conversations, or is it something that you talk to about often? Yeah.
I don't think it's like something that's kept away. Like if I find like a effect on our station that I think is really cool, I'll go and show him, be like, isn't this amazing? Cool. Or things like that. So I don't think that's something that's like avoided at all, honestly.
Yeah. And it's always good to have like a second opinion on something, like just I think it's like the same as when you do like portfolio pieces or whatever. You spend so much time at it and you're kind of sick of seeing it,
yep.
and you hate everything of it, and you just need someone to tell you, no, this is actually good. So
yeah.
I really think like keeping it away would do more harm than good. I really think like it is fun and it's something that we both like, and it's something like that is fun to talk about and fun to discover new things. And
what would you both say to people who feel stuck on their portfolio? They're getting no after no after no with their job applications. What would you tell them to like lift them up, or to, you know, just give advice, general advice to them?
So I would say if you are feeling stuck, first of all, it's completely normal to go through interviews and get a no as an answer. Oftentimes it can be like little things like, oh, they prefer just that this other person has a more convenient location. Is it a more convenient time zone? Like understand that there's other candidates that might have just be slightly more I guess good for the company with something that you have no control over. And again, it's the comparison factor, right? So if I would say it's a combination of being like realistic about your goals. As I said, like in the beginning, I would say I would personally aim for a bit of a smaller studio to work with, just because generally it's easier to get a job in that kind of field. So I would say right off the bat, don't, of course, it's like good to aim for something good and it might work out. I have seen juniors be hired in AAA who were students 2 months ago. That can absolutely happen. I'm not saying it can't, but I would say also have a backup plan. And and when you keep applying, just understand that it's not always a personal thing, that it doesn't have to do when you get rejected. I know it's very hard because it hurts no matter what, but try to understand that it's not anything regarding to you as a person. It's more like first reasons unknown that decision was the most beneficial to that studio or that company. But I would say the best thing to do is just to keep learning and being open to criticism and being open to feedback and ask as much for feedback as possible. Even if you get rejected, if the company is willing to give you feedback on why they rejected your portfolio, that can be so helpful. Really, that can be really very helpful. And if you have a mentor, for example, it's also very important to take feedback from that mentor as well. And if you have like had a previous job or something like that, and you had like a lead in the company, it's really important to be open to ask them questions on, oh, how could I potentially like improve, or just but as many options as you have of asking for feedback from people you trust is very good to do if you really want to improve. And again, I emphasize people you trust because sometimes there can be feedback that's very different from each other. So one person might say, oh, I think doing the A thing is good. And the other person might say, no, I think the actual complete opposite would be good. Then it comes down to you to understand whose opinion you trust more. So to have some kind of mentorship, whether it's from an actual mentor, whether it's getting again from a feedback from a company that said, no, sorry, we can't work with you right now, or just any kind of feedback, really being able to take that and instead of feeling crushed by it, trying to be rather looking to be inspired or looking to use that as a motivation to work further and get better is, I feel like, really important. And it's also, as I said, important to understand that it's never a personal thing. So, yeah, I think also being in a community helps a lot, because when you see that other people are struggling with the exact same thing that you are, you don't feel so alone anymore. You understand that it's normal, that this is just something that everyone goes through. So yeah, I would say just try talking to people as much as possible, sharing as much as possible, asking for feedback as much as possible, and just trying to continue applying, because really the worst thing that can happen is you being told, oh, sorry, we can't work with you right now, which is the worst that can happen, right? But it's always worth giving a shot. I think it's always worth trying. It's always worth giving a shot. And if this is something you truly enjoy and you are truly passionate about learning, I can guarantee you that in time you will be picked up by a company or a studio, because a lot of people, like a lot of companies even don't necessarily are okay with you not having the exact skill set yet that they are looking for, especially for internships. As long as you have that passion in you and you seem like a person who is really, really eager to learn and to soak up knowledge, they would be maybe too willing to give you a shot and then train you on the spot. And then while you are being trained, you should really, really trust your mentor and try to learn as much from your mentor as possible. And just never be afraid to ask questions. Like, all the questions are good questions.
I agree with
you.
That's
what I would say.
Ben, any advice?
Yeah, the short answer is just keep up, keep at it. Like, there's really, like, not much else you can do. Like, just keep applying, keep working. If you are, like, sick on a particular portfolio thing, you can take a break from it, just do something else. Even, like, taking a walk, doing a nice evening with your friends or whatever gets, like, you just off your mind off can help. Watch your favorite TV series, look at the effects there, play a game and just stare at the campfire for a few minutes. Like, things like this can really help to just, like, get you motivated again. And then it is just going at it and keeping at it, and you will find something.
Well, that's all great advice. Thank you both for coming over. And I'll just say one more thing, which I ask every guest before we go. There's 5 minutes that you could think about something. What would you, is there something you still want to, like, promote, or where can people find you? Maybe something like that. If people want to reach out to you, can they reach out to you?
I will start. For me, the most easy place to find me is, of course, the VFX Apprentice community. I'm a community manager there. I'm always happy to answer questions, always happy to help out. Otherwise, if you want to reach out on socials or ArtStation, I'm not as much on there right now, but I will try to keep up. So if anyone wants to, feel free.
All right, so the community Ben just mentioned is the Discord server from VFX Apprentice. I'll leave the link below. What about you, Diana? Anything you want to add?
So with me, it's, if you are interested in the VFXA courses, every few months I do, like, a semi-realistic bootcamp there, and the lessons are pretty nice. I feel like they're helpful to get started in that style. Otherwise, just any socials like ArtStation or LinkedIn, I use my real name, so it's just Diana Simonyan. If you're interested and you want to talk or ask a question or anything, really, of course, feel free to reach out. And yeah,
awesome. Thank you for being here. I'll pivot shortly to the viewers and say, hey, it's been great having you guys here. If you like the episode, leave a like and check the links down below, and yeah, subscribe. You can also join our Discord, the Generalists, and I'll see you guys later. Salam. Bye. Okay. So we'll stop recording.